So it's been a good day so far, warm Mother's Day out there, and I mean, it's just good to be together to see that mothers are honored here, and it's a wonderful thing because I'm just going to tell you, outside this church, it's a rare thing to see that mothers are honored anywhere anymore. You know, Jesus said it was going to be that way, where kids are going to turn against mother and father and so on and so forth. And I tell you what, it's so prevalent out there now. Now that the children actually have control over the parents. Some kids go out there and they call the cops on their mom and dad, and mom and dad's getting arrested for spanking them and correcting them. And I mean, just it's all this legal garbage out there. I mean, I understand. Trust me when I tell you, I understand the difference between correction and abuse. That's something the Lord had to get together with me and teach me. But I tell you what, right now, I love my children, therefore I correct them. The Bible says, I always miss saying this, but he says, if you don't correct your children, you hate them. That's what he likens it to. Not correcting your children, you hate them because you're allowing them to go out there and let them do whatever they want, make whatever choice they want, run all over you, and then you look back and go, how did I get children like that? That was the bone DNA we were in. That's why she didn't like them. She had no control over her children. She had nothing. And God had to show us that. But mothers are very important. Dave got up here and preached, and I long for days that you older people used to have. We don't have that experience of seeing grandmothers and great grandmothers and moms growing up in the kitchens and all that. We don't have that. It's a very rare thing. Very rare thing in America. Both on my mom's side and my dad's side, I never knew my grandparents on either side. Never. Never had a chance. They were already gone by the time I was... I may have been a little tiny baby, but I don't remember them. And, it's a rare thing to have children respect their parents the way Dave... He looked up to his mother. You could just tell. He looked up to his mother. He looked up.
Okay.
And,
I don't know why. It's on, so I don't know why.
I think the battery just...
It's sucking batteries down, and I really... I was supposed to have bought...
That's all right.
It's working now.
Yeah, just go.
It keeps dying because the batteries are having trouble running it. I was supposed to buy a couple of good lithium batteries, and I'm John Ashton.
It's all good. Anyway... So just gotta get used to it, get the bug. But I like it. I'm more comfortable with it now. Once it's just shut off again, so I'm not even gonna wear it. I'll try to speak as loud as I can, and unless he has another battery or whatever. Yeah, that's fine.
You keep going.
We're gonna start off in Jeremiah 12. Jeremiah 12 is gonna be the text. And the Lord gave me this. I just told Pastor the other day, I said, man, I said, am I preaching to 1 o'clock? He said, yeah, you are. And at that point, I had nothing for Sunday school. I had nothing for 1 o'clock, nothing for 6 o'clock. I'm like, Lord, we're getting a little close on this thing here. And anyway, God is good like that. He just wanted to test me. And Jeremiah 12, the Old Testament. Having a hard time today. I don't know why I can't concentrate or not. Yeah, hey, Brother Hane, can I have you pray, please, for the service? I'm just having some struggles tonight.
Father, you know the hour. You know what's gone before. Had a delicious meal. But Lord, we need to concentrate. We need to focus. I pray you help Brother Dale in that respect. We've heard his lament. And we ask you, dear Lord, to intervene. Give us all good attentiveness. Give him a focus on the message that he has for us. And we'll thank you for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, thank you. So, Jeremiah 12, verse 10 is going to be my text. Actually, 10 through 13. It says, many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate, because no man layeth it to his heart. The spoilers are come upon the high places through the wilderness. For the sword of the Lord shall devour from one end of the land even to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. They have sown wheat, but shall reap thorns. They have put themselves in pain, but shall not profit. And they shall be ashamed of their of your revenues because of the fierce anger of the Lord. We're going to look at this as if it was a church today. It's raining now, if anybody's got windows open. I believe the Lord put this in the Bible for a warning to the church. It was a warning for Israel, but God also knew that would become the churches today. God is God. He can give teachings for one set of people and know that it will touch another set of people in the future. God's talking to Israel at this point. He's telling them what they have become. You look back at and read this text and you'll see that this is where the church sits today in America. This is what has become of this church, of churches here in America today. And it's the very place that God is talking about in Jeremiah. And he gave this to the people of Israel to be able to see where they're heading. And he's given it to us today to see where we're heading, to where this Christianity thing is going. Now I think it's important if we take heed to what God is trying to teach us. It's one of the many miracles of the Bible. Thank you, brother.
I can hear it.
Yeah, and those may not hold much. I really need better batteries.
All right. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yep. All right. It's one of the many miracles of the Bible is that God puts something back for those people, but spiritually, it can teach us. It can go out. We can learn from the things that he's put in there, even from Israel. And I really think that God has got a point here when he says what he said here. It says many pastors have come through the Black Creek Baptist Church. Many have come to the surrounding areas and across America, and that's exactly what they have done. They've come through. They've just passed through. I mean, there are some here that you heard witness of it from day to day, who men of God, who have men of God in here, who love them. They got saved under the ministry. But today, I'm just telling you now, it's so prevalent where a pastor will come in, and I'm going to get ahead of myself here, but he'll come in, he'll get appointed to that church, and he won't stay there very long, and he'll just head out. And what do you think that does to a people? What do you think it does to them? Well, let's go and see what the Lord has to say about that. They took a place where God once dwelled and made it a pleasant portion into a desolate wilderness. Where once the pews were filled with saved people who come together with one mind to worship and serve the Lord with one accord. Then because of man, the people and the church were made desolate. There are many churches out there today where a man once stood, came in and preached and loved the people and stood there. And then he either passed away or something happened where he's no longer in that church. And then you have the younger generations of pastors coming in and they're just leaving the place desolate. All over America, we have that going on. People are out there and they're hungry for the Word of God. They want to hear it and they want to know it. We have none to teach. We have none to stand the ground. We have none who, and it's all for the money and the fame and fortune. That's what they're out there for today. They don't care about the souls of the people anymore. It says, the Bible says that these pastors have trodden my portion underfoot. They have taken what was God's and they have made it desolate. This disease of man and his ways are spreading across America at such a rapid rate. Brother Chuck Barnes, the missionary to Maine, said this to me. He said, Dale, we go in and open church doors and another one closes. He said, we just cannot keep pastors in them anymore. They work hard. That's his ministry, is go up there in Maine. And those church doors that have been closed, they get them back open again. And they put a pastor in there and say, leave this flock. Do what the Lord has you to do. They said, as fast as we get one open, one they just opened up a few months ago is closing the doors. No longer are people having faith in what Jesus Christ wants to do. They're having faith in what as people are tithing. They're having faith in what they think, how to go get people. People have lost the whole meaning of what the word ministry really means. Mm-hmm. They've lost it. They've got man's idea put in their head, and they've lost the whole meaning of what Jesus Christ said. Go out and teach all nations. Teach them. He didn't say worry about paying. Matter of fact, when he sent them out, he told them not to bring anything with them. That they were to have faith. They would have faith. It was sad. It was a sad sight to see a couple weeks ago to see that church of 60 years just close. Was it over there in Depew, Calvary Baptist Church, and the guy who ran it, great pastor. I mean, I loved the man. And to hear him say, oh, the church voted and they didn't care about what I said, and I'm happy with it. That's what, is that exact words. That's my wife. She heard it. They're okay with closing churches. They're okay with not going out there and getting to people. They're okay because they've come and what they've done, it. They've started, you know, and this is what happens when I tell you, please don't compromise even on the smallest things. Because if you'll start compromising on the small things, when the big things come, you'll compromise just as easy. Yeah. And this is why we have what we have today, because men have compromised what God has set forth for us to do, brother. They have compromised that. And now it's not. Listen, you know how you go ahead and look in the ministry and see how easy it is for people to compromise anymore these days. How many people, how many churches today do you think are really out there celebrating the fact that it's Mother's Day and honoring mothers? I think honoring a mother, thank you, Mom, for what you did for me. I know you did the best you could have ever done. And I looked at Amy today, I said, you know what I'm learning? Something that I've never had. I said, for the first time in my life, I'm learning how to respect my mother.
Amen.
I've never had it. I've never had any respect for my mother. I said, I'm learning how to have respect for my mother. That's something at 43 years old, going to be 44. God has given me a heart to learn how to respect my mother. And I do honor my mother. Sometimes I bend over backwards. I mean, absolute backwards for her. It's something I wouldn't have done when I first walked in this church almost 8 years ago. You ask the pastor, he'll tell you. Couldn't stand my mom. But you know what happened? God started taking that heart and he started circumcising it. Gave me new desires, man. You know what that new desire was? To honor my mother. I have no grudge against my mother. Not one inkling. Hold nothing against her. Is she perfect? No, but she's my mom. That's mine. You don't think God wants that for everybody else? You better believe he does. What are you willing to put down for it? Hey. My mother. The Lord gave me my mother. She raised me and my brother the best way she knew how. Best way she knew how. And you know what? I had food, clothing, shelter. I had all that. She wasn't as bad as some people can make her out to be. Right? That's right. So I'm just telling you now, if God can do it and fix a relationship with between me and her, he can do it for anybody. I know it's a hard thing. Believe me, you, I know it's hard. But we're compromising. We got to stop the compromise. Here's what's going to happen. You're either going to take this thing fully for what it says and do fully for what it says, or you're just going to go ahead and put it down and leave it up, because games are no good in the eyes of God. If you take what this says, learn what it says, believe what it says, and start putting it into your life, and I'm telling you, it's life changing. I was telling Pastor something the other day. I said, this morning, I said, I have nothing else to offer people but a King James Bible and what it has done for me. That's all I have. When I go to help people, when I go to talk to people, when I go to witness to them or whatever else, all I have is a King James Bible in my hand. I have nothing else to promise you. I can just tell you this. I don't have a magic pill. I don't have a potion. I don't have a smoke screen. I have a King James Bible to come at you with. That's all I have. Why do I do that? Because I know it worked for me. There's power in this book. There's power in this thing. There's power. Last night I watched a show that I shouldn't have, and it wasn't filth or nothing like that. It was on prisons. My wife goes, Dale, Dale. I go, yeah. I was in that. I was in prison with them people. It was the first time that ever something like that ever happened to me. I was just like, I said, I'm sorry, hon. I said, my goodness. I said, I was ready. I understand their feelings. I understood their emotion. I understood their eagerness. I understood that bitterness. She goes, man, they're awfully violent in there. I said, you have no clue. I said, but guess what? We had those same ones sitting on our church pews. How's that violence and anger and bitterness that's in your heart that's got you in prison on this very day?
Yep.
I remember standing up here after I got saved. One of the first messages I preached, I said, I'm finally free. Because you know why? I was finally free for the first time in my entire life. I wasn't in prison in my own self. For the first time in my life, yes, I may have understood what those guys were going through and how they felt and all that, but for the first time in my life, that was no longer me. longer me, but anyway, it went on to where I had a nightmare. I had a nightmare that I was going back to prison. I woke up in tears. I mean, absolute tears. I said, man, it just had touched me. Because sometimes I wish I could get in there to those guys. Because you know what they are? Don't let them tattoos and all that fool you. They're soft too. Believe me when I tell you that. Not everybody has a tattoo on them as a tough guy. Not everybody goes to prison as just some mean person. They don't know any better. They don't think there's any hope. They don't think there's any hope. I live my life the way I did because I didn't believe there's any hope for Dale Moore. How wrong was I? Thank God somebody wanted to step up to me and tell me. Thank God my tattoos didn't chase somebody away. Thank God my appearance didn't make him run from me. That's what we need to be. That's what we need to be like. Let him punch you in the face. That's all right. You'll get over it. Let him cuss you out. You've been there before. Maybe they'll see something in you. For the first time. I mean, I remember the first time. Just having the love, seeing the love that Pastor had in him for me, just it blew my mind. I seen something that I've never seen before, and I've told you this story before, but you don't know how important that was to me, to see that. That's what we need to be the people. That's what Jesus Christ needs to make us, so we can go out there to the people. The impact on their life. They may not admit it right away. They may not say it in the next 5 seconds. They may not say it in the next week. But you don't know what's going to happen in the next year, next month, next day, or next week with those people. You just don't know. But we have men who are what? They're trotting. They're stepping all over the people of God. They're just going in there. And they're messing everything up. And they're leaving the places desolate. And it doesn't even bother them. It doesn't faze them anymore. I remember when church doors closed, it used to faze people, it used to bother them. They did everything they could to save it, to try to keep it open. Not no more. You know what that tells me? Those people in that area, their souls weren't important to anybody. Why do I say that? Let me just read this right here. And it says, it was made desolate because no man layeth it to his heart. Them pastors didn't have a heart for them people.
Right?
That's what it says. Let me read it again. Jeremiah 12:11 said they made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me, the whole land is made desolate, because no man layeth it to heart.
Yeah.
They don't have it in their heart to stay there. They don't have it in their heart to sit there and go out there and work a part-time job or a full-time job or whatever. You know what they think? They got to go and they got to sit in an office. Sit in a pastor's office with a nameplate on his door and let everybody else do the work for him. That's what they're expecting. And that's not what God raised people up for. There's authority in this church. He's the authority in this church underneath Jesus Christ. But it's also his responsibility, because this says the pastors. Does it not? And I know this for a fact. He goes out with people. He goes out and he works among them. He talks to them. He tries to get them in here. And he teaches us the same thing. I get worked up a little bit because over the few years that I've been saved, the filth that they call Christianity, it makes me ill. I'm sorry, it makes me ill. I can't hide the way I feel. I can't hide my feelings. When it comes to that kind of thing, it gets to me. Because you know why? One went on the cross. Doesn't that mean anything to anybody anymore? Doesn't the one who went on the cross, doesn't the church door stay open for one? What if one of you? I happen to think that, I'm going to say this out of faith, that I think, I believe this from my heart, that if one person were to sit here, I believe either Pastor Haynes or him would sit here and still preach to you guys. I believe that. Why? Because that soul is just as important. But these men have come in and they've tried it, they've made it desolate, and you know what? It doesn't even bother them because it's not even laying on their hearts anymore. Why? Because they're too busy following man's ways. They come in, Let me leave where I left off. He said, can't keep pastors in them. They come in and believe that because they are there, that the church will grow rapidly and that money will increase and so will their fame. And when that doesn't happen, they leave another church trodden and desolate. Instead of getting out there and working among the people and going to where the people are and finding the people to bring in, and I just said this, most people, pastors want to sit behind a desk and allow the church of people to go out and bring people in. That's what they want to do. Oh, you go out and get them, and I'll stay here. And then you know when the church starts growing, he says, yep, because of me, because of my preaching, this church is growing. That's what's happening out there. Believe me, I've heard it. Okay, I've heard it. It's a sad state, because we are a body. Yes, our pastors are put authority over us by Jesus Christ. But we are to work as a body. A body. A body. That's what they would go out there and do. It says they take credit for the church growing. This is what they call a ministry. This is the way of man that God never intended. And when things don't go according to what the pastor says, the Bible says that the church, being desolate, it mourneth unto me. They walk out, talking about the pastors, they walk out and turn their backs on the people. And the churches cry out, why God? Why us? Where are you? It's mourning unto God. Why are we without another pastor? Why are we without somebody standing behind this pulpit to lead your sheep? What do you think is breathing in those people's hearts? For the next man that gets up here. And the next man that gets up here. And the next one that gets up here. And the next one that gets up here. Who and when are they supposed to trust? Who's going to be the next one to walk out the door on? That's what they're thinking. And that, you know what? When that church starts to crumble, that man is standing there and go, oh, must be because I don't have power of God. Number one, you're right. But number two, they don't trust you because you're the next one ready to walk out the door. You're the next one to leave them desolate, trodden underneath your feet. That's a sad place to be. And the Lord answered back, the whole land is made desolate because no man layeth it to his heart. Man has no heart for the church, the people, or the area. And when it does not go according to their way or their plans, they walk out on the people again. And the people once again are crying out. The Bible says in Jeremiah 12:13, they have sown wheat. But listen to this. But they shall reap thorns. They have put themselves in pain, but they shall not profit. They shall be ashamed of your revenues because of the fierce anger of the Lord. They think they're out there doing what God wants them to do, and they're reaping thorns. The thorns are part of God's anger towards man. Part of the very curse of God when Adam and Eve fell was God cursed the ground with thorns. Those very thorns were kicked on the head of Jesus. Pastors and the men of God are sowing thorns and believing they have it right, and all they're doing is cursing the people. It says they went out there and they planted wheat, but all they're getting back is thorns. That's a curse. And these men that are walking out of these churches, it's all they're doing to the people. They're putting a curse on. They think they're really doing these people a favor. Oh, yes. I just want you to know here at Black Creek, today morning when I get up here at 1 o'clock, I'm doing you a favor. God forbid if I ever got an attitude like that. That's their attitude. They don't mind. It doesn't bother them anymore. He says they're going out there. I mean, look at the churches. And you tell me, what fruit are they bearing? To me, it looks more like thorns to me than fruit what Jesus Christ would give. I don't see any fruit coming out. I mean, there's some churches out there that have it right. They're out there doing the right thing. But you know what? They're getting smothered by the thorns. They're getting smothered by all that stuff. All that garbage is trying to choke them out. And God's still trying to shine through. He's trying to break through. He's trying to use churches. He's trying to use those who are faithful. He's trying to use those who aren't falling underneath that garbage. But it's hard to find these days. The Bible says in Jeremiah 7:8, behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not? And come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to all these abominations. In this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes. Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. All these things are flooding churches in America today, led by pastors, and they believe they have the power of God resting upon them. They really believe. And guess what that leads the people? Blinded minds. That leaves them having no clue whatsoever. None. Here's what's happening in churches today. Thank God it is not happening here, I'm sure a few other churches. But most people do not need to read this at home. Do you know why they don't? Because they rely on a pastor or somebody else to give it to them. Therefore, if and when a pastor or somebody walks out of that church, nobody can keep it going because nobody knows the Bible. Nobody reads it. Nobody knows even how to do it. Not one single clue. And I think that's a sad case. But you know who done it to them? The very pastors, evangelists, and preachers and teachers have taught them to do that. They've taught them to do that thing. That's why I said, I thank God that we have a church that doesn't do that. I mean, we've been traveling around to some churches, Amy. Tell me, how many of them you're seeing there open Bibles? Well, if you'd like to open your Bibles, if you even have one, if you even carry one in, turn to. I'm like, what is that? Open your Bible. Read along. Read what's going on. Find out. Find out for yourself. Is there something that tells you the good? Then bring it home and study it out. Get along with God on that thing. But everybody can't. You know why? Because they become lazy. Spiritually lazy. And then when things do happen, I thank God that we have pastors who teach us the Bible. And teach us, and we learn from the wisdom of watching other people's. And I believe wholeheartedly that if something ever did happen in this church, I believe this church could pull together just fine. And be able to make the decisions that we would have to make. I believe that.
Amen.
I believe that. Not because of any one man, but because of the church as a body. It's become together as a whole. Okay, I believe that. Verse 8 says, behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. These lying words are perverted versions, programs, and men's ways. The Bible teaches us clearly, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Romans 3:4. People are taking man's word over God's word. That's what they're taking. And the Bible tells us that let every man be a liar, but God the truth. God, but he says the truth. Not what man says. Not what man says. I tell you what, there's some people in here who can give me some really good wisdom. But I tell you this now, if it doesn't line up with the Bible says, then I shouldn't listen to it. The same. That's how important it is to God. That's why he just said that. What he said, he says that, God forbid, let God be true, but every man a liar. It's okay to cross-reference what somebody says in this Bible. It's okay to do that. Because I'm going to tell you now, without this, your life is going to be in the same mess it always has been. Can you not see that? I mean, I guess I don't understand why people can't get it. It's a simple, take and read the Bible. I told pastors today, I hear the excuse all the time, well, I don't understand the King James Bible. Neither did I. But when I became diligent and I became willing to learn it, guess who taught me? The God of heaven started giving me treasure. And man, that got me excited. I said, I want more. And he would just feed me that stuff. Now I can sit down in the morning like I got this morning. Or yesterday morning. I got yesterday morning. I told you I didn't have nothing. I sat down with my Bible yesterday morning. And the Lord gave me this message and Sunday school's message in just a few hours. From being open-minded and willing to study His Word. Study. To show thyself proven unto Dale, not unto Pastor Haynes, not unto Pastor Ashworth, no, unto God.
Amen.
Unto God. When we tell you this stuff, when us three stand up here and we preach these things to you, we're trying to tell you to do it so you can do it for God. Not for us. We know the answer. We know what it does for us and our families. We want you to have that very thing.
Amen.
That's what we want. That's why we say it over and over again. That's why we say it, because we want you to experience it. That we're trying to share our hope with you. Brother David Law said, don't hold on to that stuff. He said, what do? We get it and then we hold on to it? No, we're trying to share it with you guys. Mm-hmm. That's the answer is. We're trying to tell you what the answer is. Take it and run with it. It's a good thing. I promise you. Why is this looked at? Why is Bible reading so looked at so horribly? Why is it so hard? I'll tell you why. Because you still have a heart of flesh. It has not yet been circumcised. God has not started to work in your heart. If you don't have at least a little bit of a desire to read what His Word says, where are you? Why any better position are you than you were last week, last month, last year? The only way to get that circumcision complete will be the reading and the studying of the Word of God, what the Holy Ghost convicts you on, shows you. I'm just telling you, be obedient. Obedience is better than any sacrifice. You can give up everything in your whole household, it still won't please God like obedience. We've learned that. Sure, we'll give this up. Go give that up. Go. You know what? God's not any happier with me than when I gave that up. He's more happy with me being obedient in the Word and praying and stuff like that. Yeah. He's more obedient with me doing something like that.
Yeah.
People are taking man's word over God's word. Why? The Lord gives the answer in 2 Timothy 4:3. It says, for the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. We know that time is here. We know that nobody is enduring sound doctrine. They're perverting it, changing it, corrupting it, whatever you want to call it. It's happening today. It's going on. For the time will come when they not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers. These people are actually going after teachers that will give them what they want to hear. These are the crowd that I'm telling you about who won't pick up their own Bible. They want somebody to tell them. And that person will use any version to tell them exactly what they want to hear.
Yeah.
Stamp Christianity on your back. Go out there and live your life any old way you want without any change whatsoever in your life, and you're okay. You're okay. If you want to take that and die with it, I feel bad for you.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell you, I feel sorry for you. I feel awful for you. I'm going to pray for you. If you're going to stand there and take that with you, I feel bad for you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you fell into that garbage. I'm sorry you fell into that trap. The Bible says it's going to happen. Why? They're going to go after the lust that heap teachers to themselves, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. I'm not too keen on too many other versions of the Bible, but I heard of one, it's called the ASVB or something, and it's all paraphrases of the Bible. I'm sorry, but you can keep your paraphrases. I want something that's going to work in my life, and that's the Word of God. From Jesus Christ, right here, standing in front of me, that's where it's at. Why do I want to listen to some man's paraphrase? God gave us this Bible for a reason. Why do people have the need to change it? Can you tell me why? It fits their lifestyle perfectly. And if you're going to take that to the grave, I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for you. I do. God has given us the Word of God in its purest form in front of us for us to have, to learn, to live. I'm just telling you, it's mind changing, it's body changing, it's heart changing, it's mind changing. This thing is real. It's not a fable. You understand? This Bible here is not a fable. But I have a hard time with those other ones. I believe they're fables. They're men's tales. I can understand if you're trying to interpret or whatever, but when you change the whole meaning by giving the word you put in there and it changes the whole meaning of it, how do you get that being an interpretation or whatever? You're making it easier. I've read some of them Bibles and the words they put in there are not easier for me to read. Mm-hmm. I have to get out a dictionary just to understand half of what I'm reading.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm not smart. That's why I need a King James Bible, and I thank God for it. I thank God for a King James Bible. Because if I hadn't studied in other versions, I would have a hard time with it. I've seen some of them. I do studies, comparisons, and I go, how do you get that? How am I supposed to teach my daughter something like that? Or my son? They would never get anything like that if I can't. But you know what? This morning, what did Autumn do with you this morning? What'd she do? She read the Bible next to my wife. A King James version of the Bible is what my daughter did. She understands that perfectly fine. That's what's going to be in my house. I don't care what's in yours. I do care, but I can't convince you. There are people out there searching for teachers and preachers, and whoever else will teach them what they want. And pastors are answering the call. The people want to be have the label on their lives a Christian, but they live according to the lust in their heart, and the so-called pastors are willing to give it to them. And they are blind to see that they are not reaping fruit God wants, but thorns, which is the very curse of God. The reaping thorns. The fruit. What is the fruit? I'm just going to say this. Family Life Network. I don't support it. I don't even turn it on at my house, okay? I heard some of the music on there, and you're going to try to tell me that I can tell the difference between that and worldly music? You're crazy. Mm-hmm. You know what I started doing? And I didn't 5 minutes of having on, I'm tapping my foot and I'm going. I start feeling the adrenaline coming up in me, and I want to listen to that baloney? I don't think so. You know why? You ask my mother. Hey, Mom, do you remember me standing on stages, many, many, many stages, playing many concerts, sitting there, and how just crazy and wild it made me? You ask me throwing people through windows and all that, and I'm in a band. I'm a singer in a band, and I did it for a long time, for many years. We traveled around all over the place, different states and everything. We had contracts and albums with Siberia Sound Studios and out in South Buffalo. Rolling Stone magazine, the editor. He was our manager. Okay, we were signed underneath his label. I got CDs out there and everything. DVDs, ask my mom. She'll tell you, it's all out there. Sold in music stores right along with all the other rock. You gonna tell me that's Christian? Death metal? You got Christian death metal?
I love Jesus.
Really? That's what you... They call it Christian death metal.
That's what you sounded like.
I'm just telling you now. If you believe for 1 second that that baloney is Christian or anything that God would even be in something like that, God forbid, that's not the Christianity I want. That's not the God I want to serve. You know why? Because all he did was leave me in the same position that I always was. He never changed a thing about my heart. If I still have to desire that type of music, then he never changed a thing in my heart. I'm still lost today. If I need that music, you know what I love to hear? I love to hear you play. I love to hear Miss Haynes play the song, Miss Ruth Ann singing. That's what I like. You know what my daughter does? On Sunday nights, we go over there. You know what she does? She gets up and sings. And she's singing that right here. This is what she's singing. What's so wrong with the hymns? Oh, Ty, did you know we're the crazy ones? Because we sing hymns and preach a King James Bible, but we're nuts.
Amen.
Good, I'm crazy. That's right, we're nuts. We're the ones who are nuts.
Hey, Dale, come on.
Yeah.
I don't do this very often, but I want to pull this up. You said, go to Isaiah 29, verse 4.
You need this?
I don't. I spent many years devil possessed. And I mean devil possessed. You want to hear the stories? I'll tell you the story.
Sure. But
Isaiah 29, 4. Now, when I was in the Philippines, I got caught in a volcano, my wife and I. I know what it's like to feel the ground shaking as it rains, sands coming in the rain. Kind of an odd thing, okay? And houses begin to collapse because sand is piling up on top of them. And Willie Kiros and myself, the pastor there, began to travel because our place wasn't as hard hit, to try to find pastors in towns that were hit harder, if we could help them. And I'll never forget one town I went into. A very young pastor and his wife. And here's the story they told. When the volcano first went off, huge rocks were dropping on people. People are running through the streets, and just huge rocks are just coming down on top of them and killing them as a run. Mother, be running with your child. Splat. Everything is falling apart, breaking because of all the sand that's coming down on the houses. Well, by instinct, everybody in this town ran to the largest house owned by the rich man. And as it was, the house stayed. So, somewhere 2-3 o'clock in the morning, everyone in this Filipino town is in that house. And horrible sounds coming from outside. That man and wife told me this. All of a sudden, all the old people started talking in low, deep voices. We've come up We've come up. We're so tired. We're so tired. We've come up. The old people were swaying and chanting and saying that. We've come up. We've come up. You know what Moses said? He accused Israel of worshiping gods that were newly come up. Ever wonder what happens when the Bible says hell has expanded itself, enlarged itself? But look at Isaiah 29, verse 4. And thou shalt be brought down, and shall speak out of the ground, and thy speech shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be as one that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. Just gave you an example of that with that death music. Now, what if we shall open a whorehouse down here? Well, we don't have Christian whores in it.
That's correct.
So guys are there, they can whisper about Jesus in their ear and tell them and kiss them and give them a little track. Would that make it Christian? You can't take that music and have somebody sing about Jesus low out of the dust and make it Christian.
That's right, brother. Yes, sir.
Okay?
Yep.
You can't do it. That's what familiar spirits mean. That's why the world's given over to it. That's why the world's going to hell. Nothing affects people like music.
That's right.
Nothing.
Yes, sir.
Right. Nothing. And if I wanted to turn a bunch of people lascivious, sensuous, I would play that kind of music. That's why in my books I call it tiny wiggle music.
That's right, bro.
Okay? Yeah. Pastor Randall let me on the air one time to preach. I couldn't think of a name for it, and I called it Sydney Christian and the Wiggle Your Hiney Trio. The lights lit up. Everybody called in. What was talking about, you know? And I don't know how to heal. And again, I'm just going to say this. When I was in Athens, Greece, the guy who lived across from me in the barracks wanted to witness and to all the young people who were into rock and roll. So he would subscribe to Word Music to all the latest rock and roll Christian songs. And he played them out of his room. I'm going to listen to rock and roll. I want to listen to rock and roll.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to listen to Frank Zappa, and I'm going to listen to, you know, Creed's Clearwater Revival, and I'm going to listen to that ZZ Top, and I'm going to listen to him. I'm going to get down. I'm going to beat the snot out of somebody, smoke a joint, drink a beer or something, and that's just the way I am. And it never attracted me. Sometimes old Ray would get, he'd put on some hymns because he'd be homesick. Door would be closed, and I'd come in sometimes. I didn't grow up in those sins. I would just lean against that door.
Yes, sir.
My heart's so sick of sin.
Yes, sir.
I just leaned against that door. And some of it was contemporary. I don't know how many people ever heard that before. Yes. It only takes a spark to get a fire burning. Born again, there's really been a change in me. Born again, just like Jesus said. And I just leaned against that door. You never get attracted to that other stuff. I'm grateful. Yeah, thank you.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Not many people could handle what I just did. Yeah. I thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Amen, bro. I just want to finish up here really. I just want to hit on a few things. The devil has blinded the mind of the people. He has turned the word of God into change. They've turned it into a fable to fit their lifestyle. And the devil, he didn't say he's going to what? He didn't going to come as the opposite of God. He said, I want to be like the Most High God.
Yes.
So he's coming at something that looks like the real thing, but it's not the real thing. And I'm just telling you right now, if Jesus Christ will ever put his name on something like that, then I just don't want it. I just don't want it because he has taken me from those very things and brought me to a different place. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Amen.
That's what it says in the Word of God.
Amen.
You know why? Nobody likes the Word of God. Because it shows them exactly where they stand with Jesus Christ. And they're afraid to face it. And I'm going to finish with this. It's something I wrote down. Since many, in the last year and a half, I met a handful of pastors just in this small area who were raised on a King James Bible, raised in a Baptist church, started their ministries in a Baptist church, became a preacher in a Baptist church, and then allowed themselves to be turned over to these other ways. And have fulfilled Jeremiah 12:10. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth for me. It mourneth for God. These churches, the doors that were closed, should that were closed, then people are mourning for God. They would wish. I mean, I remember, and I'm going to close with this, me and my wife moving out here from Depew. And we searched high and low for a church. We were hungry. We just didn't want it. But you know what? We fell by the wayside. We couldn't find nothing that we could get into. We couldn't find none that what they would accept us. People would look at us like we had 10 heads on us. You know what we did? We just gave up. We gave up. But I'll tell you one person who didn't give up, and his name was Jesus Christ.
Hey,
nice. He sent a man with a King James Bible to my door almost 8 years ago. And I'm telling you now, if you don't know me from that 8 years until now, know that my life has been absolutely 100% changed, then you just don't know. And I'm just going to say this. I love my pastor, Haynes. I love my pastor. I love the men of God they bring in here with utmost respect. But I love my King James Bible more.
I like you, sir.
Because that right here has shown me. Shown me the way. Shown my family the way. And I thank God for what they teach me, how to be a good husband, how to be a good preacher. They give me wisdom and stuff like that. But if you want to know, really want to know, what they already learned and they're trying to show us, you'll get it from where they get it. And that's right. I know for a fact I can say that with 100% confidence that what they have, they get from this book. And that's all I have to say, brother.